everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your co-hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, Rob, my friend, how are you this week? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. And it's Friday. I am, I had the worst, I was telling you this earlier, the stomach bug, stomach virus, what is it, neurovirus, kicked my ass this week, dude. It was horrible. Horrible.
Those are absolutely brutal.
Ugh, but so I took Wednesday off work, read a bunch of comics, and just kind of laid low. So did the best that I could,
Silver linings. So you're up to date
Silver linings.
The comics? You're up to date for this week's pulls?
So I only went yesterday because I was so bad on Wednesday. I couldn't make it in. And it's like pretty contagious from what I understand. So I just I just chilled. I had my mom get my comics for me yesterday, which was really nice of her. And so I was able to read a few books. I was able to read Ultimate X-Men, and I read Batman so far, but I had a fat stack this past week, dude. Like,
yeah, my polls now have gone down to, I think, maybe seven a week, which isn't bad, seven and below.
I applaud you.
So it's been tough to, but yeah, look, let me ask you something. As in tough to cut it down, because anytime I think I'm going to drop a series, the final page always gets me, you know?
Oh, yep.
But quick question then. You read Venom. What did you think of that one?
So, first of all, Ken Lashley's art. Oh,
beautiful.
So good. So good.
I'm going to ramble off here for a quick second.
Remember, go ahead.
Remember The Hunted, the Nick Spencer story from Amazing Spider-Man?
Of course. Yeah.
So for the people who aren't listening, that's like the third Hunted story, like unofficial sequel to some Kraven the Hunter ones. And Kraven basically wanted to give himself a send off. So it was kind of a dark story, just like Grim Hunt and Kraven's last hunt. But the artwork for the main series was done by Umberto Ramos.
Yes.
And I personally felt the artwork betrayed the tone, whereas Ken Lashley was doing those point HU tie-ins,
right?
And just even watching reading and looking at his art in the Venom issue, you're just like, oh, this guy is just grit, grit and dark storytelling. And again, I know we've said this before, but based on the gore and the violence in that issue, I do not know what Marvel's gonna pull out with this Red Band Blood Hunt.
Yeah, I think that's a very realistic sort of thing to think about. Dude,
because, we had toyed with all, it's because blood is what makes movies R-rated, and it's not like they're hiding the blood in that issue of Venom.
Yes.
Like, you see it.
Yeah.
Oh, same with this, so.
Just ligaments, body parts, organs. He went all out, and I love the creative freedom that they gave him. So I'm gonna take one step back really quick. I agree with you on Ramos's art. I know Spider-Men came out today, which is going to be the
much fun. I had a blast reading that issue.
So I heard good things about it, but I don't like Ramos's art. My brother and I have never really liked his. It's too cartoony for me. It's like the faces are weird. It's just not like the sense of realism that I personally like in a comic. So it's a turnoff for me. And
no, man, that was like me with Brian Hitch. Remember the first like few arcs of Venom? I said like I just can't get into it because of Brian's art. And I see that. You know, I mean, again, art is opinion. It's what works for some people, what doesn't.
Yeah.
And I can see why Ramos wouldn't work for some people. But I will say this. If you get a chance, his art does work with the pacing or life of the script, if you will. Like, his art is for that energy.
Perfect. Yes. It was the same with Champions. Yeah. And people loved his art on the Champions. And, like, Dude, I can't knock it because that is the style of like what a champion's book should be. And I think Spider-Man is the same thing. And to answer your preliminary question that you brought up before, what are they going to do with Blood Hunt? Dude, I'm going to say it. And listeners, longtime listeners will know this. I'm not a big gore person at all. It doesn't really do anything for me. If anything, it will actually deter me from a book. And quick, true, funny story. There was a Marvel Max title that was coming out for Werewolf by Night when I was probably, God, dude, I was probably 11. And I remember getting it from the shelf, looking through it, and there was this scene where Werewolf by Night took his hand, and you know how those Max lines were, God, that was just, it was just gore on gore, and Werewolf by Night took his fingers and shoved it up a guy's like jaw and neck, and for some reason it like kind of scarred me a little bit. And I remember being like, ooh, I don't like this. I don't like gore. I don't like this. It turned me off.
Thing too. No, and I mean, I get that. You look at, let's say, even the Saw franchise. Like, there's a type of horror movie. There's gore. Yeah. Gore does not affect me. It doesn't scare me. Gore doesn't bother me.
Okay, so, yeah. You're lucky. Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, it's like, I know, it, and it kind of comes back to the point again we made last week where Marvel said they're committing to the $3.99 price point to help comic book stores. So allegedly the Red Band one will not be available as a Marvel Unlimited exclusive. Like if you want it, you have to get it in the store.
Really good point that you bring up there.
I mean, look, I read through things. I think that's what they're saying. And I mean, realistically, I think Marvel needs to do that. DC too. Like, you know, support the stores that made like that gave this industry a platform. Like, you can't order directly from Marvel or DC. So why are you going digital? Like, what is this just need to do? And no, you know what? I'm going to go off on a ramble here about like AI and all this stuff, and I don't want to. So why don't you just jump in with something on Batman? You said you read Batman, but I saw that Joe Rogan had Zack Snyder on.
Yeah.
And Zack has annoyed some people about comments he made about Batman
I know you didn't have time to watch it. So let's dive into that really quick, because I watched the whole Joe Rogan podcast late last night and this morning. And yep, Zack Snyder was in it. He had some, dude, I mean, there's doubling down, and then there's just like saying, and this is all my opinion, right? Right. Let's just start off with that. But I look, if you are a true Batman fan, I mean, let's start from the top here. Warner Brothers, he goes into this story, and it's very cool, but he goes into the story and says Warner Brothers asked him to have a Batman that doesn't kill, which leads me to believe Warner Brothers saw the script and was like, why is Batman just murking people? And I guess their reaction to this, for some reason, made Zack want to have Batman kill, because Zack Snyder says, quote, Batman, who he refers to as a god, is irrelevant if you can't put him in that situation and see how he will come out. So he wanted to have a Batman that kills. And then he wanted to go on and say, I wanted to see a Batman who could survive it. And he laughs, and it's like you have to kind of see it. Just look up any clip on YouTube. It was, he kind of said it with like a callousness in his voice that made it seem like he only wanted to do this because the studio told him not to do it. And that was basically what he was saying. And he was laughing the whole time with Joe Rogan. And it just didn't sit right with me. He said that, I'm going to continue on here. He said that his vision, look, if you ask me about his vision, it doesn't sit well with me. He said he wanted to create a Batman that, quote, like wakes up and pops painkillers with wine, has sex to forget, and is a drunk because of his trauma. And to him, quote, that's Batman, end quote. So if I didn't have you in the first half, I think I have you in the last half. It just doesn't really do. All right, fine. But then I have
You make your point. Sorry, I don't mean.
Hold on. Let me add one more thing, and then I want your thoughts. But he goes on and he says, Zack Snyder says, look, he says all this stuff. There's even more. I'm not going to get into it. But he says this, and it's like, dude, wouldn't you want a Batman? You are tasked with creating a DC universe that is going to rival Marvel. That is your task. That is what you were assigned to do. They said, Marvel's making all this money. We have all these character rights. Just do what Marvel's doing, basically, but make it your own. Why would you go this deep into a character and go this like niche and this dark and like this, go this lane instead of making maybe a little more of an emphasis to go with what the general population would want to see in a Batman movie? That's just me. Give me your thoughts. Go. Thank you for the floor.
No problem. It's our floor, so no problem. It is. So let me think. First thing, you said any true Batman fan. All right. Now, what we have to look at here in this day and age, with the whole world that's opened up, different Batmen mean different things to different people. Okay, there's the Arkham Batman who some people are only a fan of. There's the animated series Batman. So all of these things, you know, Batman means something different to everybody. And I'm not, again, this is a guy's opinion. Zack Snyder gave his opinion, right? He's allowed to have his opinion. The people who like the Snyder movie verse that say that is Batman, that's fine. That's their Batman.
Large but group of people think, say that. Yeah.
And that's fine. Yep. That's their Batman. The only, and I've said this time and again, but you have no right to tell me I'm wrong for not liking that Batman. You try and do that, and then, you know, I'm zoning you out. That's it. Everybody has their own opinion. Now, from, let's put on Devil's Advocate movie exec hat. The reason, it's not because, like, let's, Warner Brothers executives, look at the movies from the 2000s, the early 90s, all those comic movies. They don't give a shit about the true essence of characters. What's the big moneymaker? PG-13 and PG. They don't want deaths in it because they want to make money. Marvel got around that with the deaths were like explosions or death by your own hand. I just didn't stop you. And let's say movie directors, actors, all of them, they have egos. And his ego does not really seem to be that of a mature adult. And, you know, I see it with my two-year-old. Don't you climb on that.
Yeah.
He's going to climb on it because he said not to climb on it. That's fine. But people, again, you can't tell Snyder he's wrong for what his vision of Batman is. You can't, like, are people going to go by the same token and say Jonathan Hickman is wrong for his vision of Spider-Man? Are people going to say Frank Miller's wrong for his vision of Batman? Batman in the Dark Knight Returns was not a nice guy. It's more so from what you're telling me, the way he said it. Anybody else is wrong for how they feel about Batman, and we can't tell him he's wrong because it's opinion.
It's opinion, but I mean, dude, when you're trying to make a movie, honestly, I'm going to stick to my guns here a tiny bit. Rob, let's flip the script. Your favorite character in the world, and probably will be forever, is Spider-Man. Let's say there's a huge, huge push to market a Spider-Man movie, and he's wielding two revolvers, and he's just killing people. He's just killing them.
I am going to laugh and be like, what is this? I'm going to go read my comics.
Any true Batman fan, oh, of course. Look, I like Elseworld story. Like I said, I picked up Ultimate X-Men this week. I swear to you, wind the clocks back last week. I was like, I don't think I'm going to buy the Ultimate books. Friggin' here I am buying all of them. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I loved it so much. Peach Momoko, in my opinion, killed it. It was so fresh. Granted, it didn't really feel like an X-book, but I digress from that. My point is it doesn't make sense to me to have that happen and be like, here is the Batman that we are going to push. Put your opinion piece into like some, I don't know, indie film that you're going to make, maybe with Warner Brothers or DC's blessing. Why make that you're appealing to the 10% instead of the 90%? Which,
what I think it comes down to is we're thinking about this as like logical fans and that like, okay, this is out of continuity. I don't have to get that book. It's not going to affect me. But what we need to look at here is, let's say, the ego of a creator. And I really think what this comes down to about people not liking, you know, Zachman or Schneider bat or whatever, it's Snyder and the way he's doubling it down. Like, if people want to get really go down to the line about killing, in Tim Burton's Batman, Batman straps a bomb to a dude and pushes him down a hole and walks away. That guy was killed. He was killed. Dead. Forget
about it. That's just murder. And,
you know, but it's just, you know, that movie's from 92. Different world. Now we have the internet and every asshole from every bar in the world just like to shout till they're hurt. Yeah. And that's what it. And the thing is, fine. If you know Batman, if you want a Batman who like who just he's popping pills, he's struggling to cope with this trauma. Fine, that's not the Batman I want to watch. I want to watch Batman the animated series, or I want to watch Batman with the credit card and fighting Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's a whole multiverse out there of this, and there the thing I don't understand, maybe it's because I'm older, is why people get so pissed off about this and waste so much time and energy trying to defend their point.
He talks about being attacked a lot, and he said it's because the fan base doesn't feel heard. And dude, it when he said that, it even made my point a little stronger. Like, they don't feel heard because I'm going to go back to my point here. You don't want to see a Spider-Man wielding pistols shooting people. Like, they don't feel heard because you're giving them something that nobody asked for. Nobody really wanted to see that. And I do see some redemption qualities that he's...
Zack Snyder wanted to see that.
And I think that's selfish. I think that's selfish.
He's the director. He's the multi-million dollar making director. And if he wants to do it, Zack Snyder.
Yep.
You know, and like we look, like I'm calling back to those batch of early 2000s movies. They weren't made by comic book fans. They weren't made by comic book writers. They were made by executives. Look at Spider-Man 3. My God, that was destroyed by studio involvement.
Oh, you know, terrible. The X-Men films, they banned them from reading comics. They said, don't read comics. We don't want you reading any of the source material.
Snyder wanted, he wasn't a comic book writer. You know, he wasn't an animation guy. He wasn't a novelist or anything, or an author. He wanted to make a Batman, and he did. But he used the medium of film, which isn't like, you know, a shameful one like comics used to be. You know, like nobody goes, hey, movie nerd. You go to the movies, nerd?
Right.
You know, it was the comic nerd. And I mean, look, maybe the guy... You know, I mean, also, like, look at it this way. He had to drop out of Justice League because his daughter, like, commits suicide. So, maybe people should, cut the guy some slack. And at the end of the day, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Watch whatever Batman you want. Watch whatever Turtles you want. Watch whatever He-Man, She-Ra, anything you want. Because there's so many out there. Just stick to the one you love. Try out the new ones. And if you don't like it, hey, that's not for you. You know?
Right. Yeah, I do see points in what you're making here. And then he even went on, and then we'll end it here. He references that he wanted to take, he took so much, you know, he took a lot of his, you know, of his Batman from The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller. And he references explicitly that when a mutant holds a child hostage, Batman shoots him in the head and kills him. I read the Dark Knight Returns back when I was in college. I think it was a sophomore, and it was a good book. This doesn't happen. I remember Googling, did this happen? And all this stuff on Google came up earlier today. It was like, Zack Snyder said this, it didn't happen. So it makes me wonder, like, what universe this guy's taking.
The universe of Hollywood.
Inspiration. It just, yeah. I was very disappointed with Zack Snyder. And he said some other weird stuff too, dude. Like, not to go down into the rabbit hole, but he said, quote, more people probably saw Rebel Moon, his new movie that just came out on Netflix, than saw Barbie in the theater.
Lad, like, okay, I'm going to start. This guy is on another planet, right? This is like, and you just need to, This is like making sense out of insanity. I'm not saying he's insane. I think you're right. But the guy is drinking his own Kool-Aid. You're never going to say that. Some of his fans are like that too, which is fine. But just, you can't make rational the irrational. If he wants to lie. I think that's what it
boils down to. Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, I don't fucking care. I don't really like watching Batman movies, you know?
Right. I'm really not doing this to hate. It's just when you say things, people are going to dissect it, and that's what we're going to do on this podcast to an extent
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. But and the thing
also,
is
too, I mean,
I'm just saying, and I think that's the good thing about this is that we're going to have a discussion about it. If you said you loved everything Snyder said, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to disagree with you.
Yes.
I'm going to hit you with other points, and I would hope that, you know, that's what other people will do about it. Yeah, I mean, like, Zack Snyder, like Hollywood, like he's, you know, he could be still grieving for his child, like to lose a child like that. You know, how many years ago was that?
Yeah.
Five? You don't know when that's going to hit you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it could have been
like
her
that.
Prom.
No,
maybe it was going to be her 21st birthday and stuff hit him like that. Also, he could just be mental. Who the fuck knows?
Who knows? But I do want to say this again. I don't really hate Zack Snyder at all. I love 300. The Watchmen is one of my favorite movies. I love that.
His remake of Dawn
of the Dead. Thank you.
With
why not
Gunn?
Throw that in there?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, it's just I didn't think he had a very good showing at this interview. I was disappointed because I am rooting for him, but it's just look. If there's one thing I could say about Zack Snyder, I don't dislike him. It's just I find him hard to root for to some extent. That's all I really have to say on the subject. Any lingering thoughts for you? But I don't know. I just, it was hard to watch. I'll send you some clips on it, dude. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, look, what I would say, final thoughts. Like, we mentioned some movies, you know, you said 300 Watchmen. And I think sometimes when you let a director have all the creative control, and we can even talk about this with wrestling. You know, back in the day, Booker's having complete creative control. When you've someone to bounce off, or someone to tell you, hey, man, I don't think that's going to work. You get a movie like Dawn of the Dead, where Snyder didn't write it, but he gave us the visuals and James Gunn wrote it. And you got this like almost better than the original. And it was just fantastic. So, you know, maybe sometimes the guy's good, you know, maybe he works as a director, but not as a writer. Now, I'm going to take the reins here. Few times we said we didn't know who the bad guys in Bloodhunt are. Now we've was it the Blood Coven? The Blood Coven?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes. Yeah.
Now, love the visuals. I think they look unnerving. They look cool. The big guy Bloodstorm 1 is a UK. I don't know if you've seen Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. That armor is very, very, it's obviously an homage to that. But as excited as I am about these new characters, I'm just a bit wary because in Infinity, we got the Black Order, who started at the main event and then fell down the card very, very quickly. We had the three mothers appear in Doctor Strange, who were the closest thing to like the Cenobites you're going to get in the Marvel Universe. Haven't been heard from since. And also we had the, what the hell are their names? The Asinine Combine in his Avengers run. What's next for these big teams? I wanted to, if the Blood Coven and I think they're soldiers. I don't think they're the ones who start the Blood Hunt. They have a vibe of like generals to me. But I wanted that they're more than just this event. I want them to be more.
Yes.
And that's what I would say with those guys.
So I agree with everything. I'm on the same path as you here. If I could add one thing though, I'm going to go with a give and a take here, right? I'm going to dip into a little bit of like, and then I'm going to go into a little bit of excitement mode. I love when new characters come. I think Marvel should do this more often because honestly, look, when you're looking at the data, it's a numbers game. For every like, six characters, probably way more than that, that are introduced, let's say, or created, one will take off and be a hit, right? You have Gore the God Butcher. You have Spider-Boy. You have what? Where did I lose you?
No. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting, the point you're making. Continue. Okay.
So I'm just saying it's kind of a numbers game. Put new characters out there, see what happens. And look, us as the consumer, we're going to tell the, you know, Marvel, essentially, if we like them or not. People were very receptive to Spider-Boy. Even me, I went in with a very negative mindset about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I liked them. So I would love to see the Blood Coven do something cool. You know, maybe be the next Black Order, like you kind of touched on. I miss the Black Order so much, man. They were
happened to the Black Order.
Like, I know, this is the thing. Terrible.
It's different with like new heroes because there's a lot more you can do. Like, let's say Spider-Boy. I think Sloth introducing him, being like, why don't any of you remember me? Captain America, we've had so many events. That's a genius way to introduce a character. Because you could have a whole flashback series. You could have him sitting back saying the first time and whatever. Now with villains, it's that if they win, are they going to kill the hero? Or if they do defeat a hero, it's going to be a B-lister or a C-lister. And that's the difficulty with these villains, you know?
So yeah, I agree. And if you ask me, like, three villains that come to the top of my head that are, like, we'll consider newer, even though I'm dating myself right now, Gore the God Butcher. We had Muse from Charles Soule's run. I loved him. He was barely in anything, though. So I don't even know if we want to count him, but I'm going to. We had Null. I just didn't like how he
was.
Where
are they now, man? Like, this is the thing. So, Muse is dead. Null is dead. Gore is dead. Yep. And where has Gore been since his one-off appearance? Like, this is the thing, as long-term readers, and I'm not knocking what you're saying. Like,
I don't feel like that at all.
Villains are a case of they make an impact and then they go, because it's the law of diminishing returns. Look at Thanos. Thanos used to be feared, and now it's like, oh, don't worry, it's Thanos, we can handle him. Like, and that's what's happened to him. Now, I will say the ending of his current series, very interesting premise, but also I'm not excited to see Thanos anymore because we've seen him so much. I'm not excited to see Kang anymore. And that's the problem with villains, is that less is more. Look what happened to Darth Vader. Okay, we saw too much of Darth Vader. And then in Rogue One, you saw that guy for like 10 minutes. And when he showed up, it was a big deal. And then he was gone. So by this kind of thing of the event build around the villains, like Null, what would have made Null even better? Null's like, you know what? I'm going to be back. Defeat Null. Don't kill Null. And he goes back and he keeps, let's say, an area of the galaxy for him. And that's, let's say, we call it Null Space with the K, because I know there is Null Space with Darkhawk. And that's his domain. That's would be a terrifying prospect, because he's just like, all right, lads, I will be back. I'm just going to go lick my wounds.
Yes.
And he's still out there, but now he's been beaten once. He can be beaten again. Look at Onslaught.
You're right.
He lost to the fucking Secret Avengers and Ricky Barnes. And then he was beaten by the power of love in Wave of X. And now he's back in, oh my God, just FOMO. I was a victim of FOMO. I got the Weapon X-Men, basically Wolverine Spider-Verse. And just as I was reading it, I'm like, why didn't I buy this? Why did I buy this?
It's not that it's
bad. I loved the look of Onslaught. But like, what is this? I should have waited for the dollar bin. What
is this? You know what you're going to be proud of me for? You're going to be proud of me. I didn't buy the Prelude. Was it Edge of Spider-Verse? There's only been one issue that's come out so far. I didn't buy it. I'm not going to buy him this time. Because I don't read them. Dude, I just can't muster the strength. They're not good. But I get sucked in because it's going to be the prelude to an event.
Is that, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was such a success because nobody knew the characters. The characters were, some of them were C, some of them were Z-listers. So you have this freedom to do whatever you want. Dan Slott doing the first Spider-Verse almost 10 years ago, maybe more than 10 years ago now, he could do whatever he wanted because, like, oh, cool, this was a hit, but now it's a money-making machine because of first appearance of Spider-Verse things. So they're just chugging them out for the sake of chugging them out.
Right.
You know? Yeah, but I'm going to get them because I'm a spider guy. You know?
And you know what I will say? Say what you will about the last Spider-Verse event, but at least it's referenced a lot in pretty much every Spider book right now, besides ASM. It's relevant.
I think that's what I have an issue with, is that Amazing Spider-Man, we saw Spider-Boy show up in Amazing Spider-Man for the first time in the final chapter of Gang War. There's been no mention of Spider-Boy anywhere in that book. And Slott sold it as it's going to be a companion book to Amazing Spider-Man. Now, I'm loving both, but it is no way a companion book. It's
He said what was going to be a companion book?
The Spider-Man. The self-titled Spider-Man series was going to be a companion book to Zeb Wells' Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, he did. He said that about the first volume. Yeah, and now this new
it
volume.
Wasn't.
It wasn't.
He had the goblin. Okay. I mean, fine. He had the goblin armor. But I mean.
That's all I remember. Yeah.
I mean, look, maybe it'll all sync up, you know, but who knows? And actually, Gang War wrapped. Just going to do a shameless plug here. And I will have a full breakdown, reading order, and opinion piece on my YouTube next Tuesday afternoon. So feel free to check that out.
That's awesome. Yep. Hey, decent event. If I had to give it out of five stars, I mean, I think we still have an epilogue issue, and I didn't read the final Daredevil issue that came out. But I would give it like a, not that high. Maybe like out of five stars, I'd probably give it like a 2.
I think that's a bit harsh. I mean, like if we look at the 2.4? Story, 2.4, I'll give it a 2.4. Like, let's look at it this way. If you look at the story and what it does, okay, like the gang war, it's not going to be cosmic in scale. It's going to be gang. It's going to be street level, to which it stayed true. Which is why Iron Man doesn't show up, Thor doesn't show up, whatever. And it takes place, they establish, over 48 hours. So it's a breakneck event. It's done, it's dusted, it's tied up. You know? And I do compare that to Fall of X, where Fall of X takes place over 10 weeks. So long. And it's difficult to try and... Because it's more of a banner event, which is like just shakes up the status quo. But... And actually, speaking of the status quo, before the Krakoan Age is officially over, we're getting the X-Men title, which is actually a secret uncanny X-Men one, because Hickman's first issue of X-Men had the legacy numbering of 645 or 646 after Matthew Rosenberg's one. But it was only on issue one. Then it was dropped.
Yes. And then he wanted it off. I just want to jump in real quick. Hickman. Yeah, he said take it off.
And I didn't
this
like
is
that.
Like, because, I knew you didn't. Yeah, I didn't like that much either.
You're building this world, but you know that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
But then now we're getting the 700th issue of Uncanny X-Men, and we were told that's the end of the Krakoan era.
How crazy!
But it's mental. But even Avengers is coming up on issue 800. Hulk is coming up on issue 800.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man is coming up on issue 1000.
No, not Daredevil. Sorry. Yeah,
no, Daredevil is still a while away. But the Heir to Apocalypse.
Four issue mini that got announced.
So maybe it's August. August we're going to get the relaunch.
Right. That would make sense. That looks interesting. Just a quick touch on that. It just looks like. Basically, it's a versus. Everybody's trying to take the mantle of Apocalypse. It's a four-issue limited series. I'm excited to see.
He gathers like 12
Gorgon,
contestants.
Mr. Sinister, Penance, Laura Kinney, Cable. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I'm gonna
I'll read it.
It's gonna be Armageddon Girl.
Armageddon Girl. Sorry, I don't know who that is.
Exactly. So you look at the 12 people, you've a Wolverine, you've Penance, you've a Sinister, you've Gorgon, you've Cable, Archangel. None of these guys are going to need that, but you have a very seldomly used character in Armageddon Girl. She debuted in Wolverine and the X-Men, then was a part of Generation X, and was just kind of in Krakoa. She can communicate with nature, you know?
I remember her.
Why is she there? It's kind of like Echo. Remember, Echo ended up being the Phoenix? Because who else could you give that power
to? Yeah, I see the point you're making. I see the exact point you're making. I never liked that kind of thing, but let's see. I think you might be right.
If Sinister becomes Apocalypse, what are we going to get with that? If Gorgon, we already kind of had Gorgon being an absolute power when he was running the Hand and Hydra together. Cable is not going to be Apocalypse. Archangel, we had that in the Archangel saga. the Dark Angel saga and Uncanny X-Force. You know?
Yep. I agree. Also, 12 characters for a 4-issue limited, that's going to be a lot to write. That's ambitious.
Well, I hope it's breakneck. I hope it's like to the point, balls to the wall, you know. But even I know you didn't read it, but the 4-issue mini of the new Punisher, Joe Garrison, that worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like it was fast paced. You didn't have filler issues. As much as I love Jason Aaron's Punisher mini, you had filler issues. And
you had filler.
As well as having filler issues, you had filler one shots to release alongside the 13-issue one.
Yeah.
Well, it was establishing, like, you know, extra information and whatever.
No, of course. Yeah, that was the point. 12, yeah, that Apocalypse books, will we get it? I don't know. Moving on to just some quick movie news that I thought was worth mentioning. Let's start with, we got the first look at Tim Blake Nelson as the leader in Captain America Brave New World, where we can see in a promo piece, he does have, of course, the large cranium, the large skull there. He looks to be green, which is
kind of exciting. Well, he started to get that look in The Incredible Hulk.
Right.
His brain going and stuff. And Tim Blake Nelson's a fantastic actor.
Oh, and so good.
I'm excited to see the leader. I don't know if you remember the way he was in the 90s cartoon, but I loved when he would talk to himself when everyone was gone. He was like, "So says the leader." And like nobody's around. I'm like, who are you saying that to? Like nobody, everybody's been dispatched already. You're good. But I love that. That's awesome. You know? Excited to see the leader.
He's going to have a big role, supposedly. So,
and I want him to be serious. I don't want him to be making jokes. Yeah. I want a threat of a villain. Like even Gore was used for comedic effect.
Dude, please don't bring that up. I'm still hurt by that. I'm still disappointed in that with the
comedy.
Make you had Christian Bale. Fearful. You had Christian Bale, dude. How do you mess that? Oh, yep. So agreed. Hard agree on that. Jumping point two, we had an interesting quote that I thought is worth mentioning on the show here, just as a quick rapid fire pop culture news segment here we'll go through. But James Gunn talked about the possibility of Grant Gustin joining the DCU. I thought it was just interesting, right? Grant is an incredibly talented guy, James Gunn says. He's performing now on Broadway. He said, he'd love to work with him at some point, is what he went on to say. He's not currently on a DC project or anything, but he'd love to rope him into something at some point. He'd love to work with him. This has been, look, I didn't watch The Flash. I don't like love Grant Gustin, and I don't have like an opinion on him, but my God, people just want this so bad. Yeah, go ahead. I know
they do. And people want the John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, and they got it for a second. What I would say here is yes, but then now John Krasinski is not going to be Reed Richards. Like that's
I know. I wish he would be, but
and
whatever.
I would say like I don't know DC, and I'm okay. This is a C. The CW, in my opinion, there's a certain way it's acted. It's cheesy. It's hokey.
Oh, okay? Horrible.
And
unwatchable.
Sometimes, you know, that might not translate well to the realm of film, you know? And also you got to look at too, James Gunn is saying this, but back in the day, Tim Burton wanted Michael Keaton to be Batman. And the studio was like, no, who is this guy? The only reason Keaton got Batman is that they got Jack. They said, well, we want Jack Nicholson as the Joker. So at the end of the day, and I hate to bust all the fanboys and the fan people's hearts, but if Grant Gustin is not going to put asses in seats, he's not going to play a big role in the DCU. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. No, that's a very fair
so
thing to
I'm
say.
So I'm taking your dreams and I'm fucking squashing them, listeners. Behold the cold, hard wrath of logic.
I think you're probably right. I don't think that he'll amount to anything. I think people just didn't like Ezra Miller that much and they wanted anyone else.
Sorry, they were fucking woeful.
Yeah.
As the Flash. Didn't just have terrible. The charisma to pull it off. Like, it just, they seem smarmy instead of like smart alecky. And
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's a whole
that's
other,
a good way to put it. Whole other thing. About,
wrong,
yeah,
like,
we
wrong,
could
improper casting.
We could go on
movies, yeah,
right. So just to wrap it up here, I do want to just state one quick thing. I was actually talking to Anas earlier. He came up with a book, Aetheries, and it's been nominated for a Ringo Award in the 2024 nominations as Best Single Issue or Story.
Congrats, so, Anas. That's amazing.
I know. It's absolutely unbelievable. As you know, Anas is you know, used to be part of Geekable, still is to some extent, I guess you could say. But, you know, he's kind of taken an extended leave of absence to be returned to be determined. But essentially, he's been nominated. He, you know, it'd be great if we could show him some love. I'm going to link the nomination link in the link tree that we have. If you'd like to, you know, if you've read it and you enjoyed it, please go. And I would encourage you to read it. It was a very good book. But please go ahead and, you know, show some love to that link with his nomination and vote for him. That would be unbelievable. So please go ahead and do that if you can. But other than that, that is everything that I had here, Rob. Anything left on your side here?
Absolutely not. I think we've covered it all. And I look forward to people's opinions on it. You know, let us know. Feel free to drop us a message with your thoughts on our topics. You know, we want to hear what you say. And yeah, man, thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks for everyone who does tune in. Follow Geekable on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Make sure to check out Nick's beautiful face on TikTok. And yeah, that's all from me, Nicky boy.
All good on my end too, Rob. And I agree with you. Please let us know your thoughts. We talked a lot about our opinions this time around. So please let us know yours. We want to hear. We love being interactive with everyone. So thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. We see our listener count grow every week. So we're doing something right. So please, please, please give us any feedback. We appreciate it all. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your week, everyone. Take care now.